I've often been fascinated by this particular story. We see the Magi and we see them traveling. And what I've often admired about them, they were willing to follow after Jesus no matter what. Wise men will always seek Christ. For Proverbs 15 and 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And we see these wise men. We said there were three, but there possibly could have been more. But they traveled for over 2 years until they finally found where Jesus was. We tend to think that they just went out and immediately they came to the place after they followed the star. But what I see that is I see a desperation. I see men who were willing to put some effort into following Christ. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Can I just tell you something this morning, that if you and I truly decide to follow Christ, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost your time. It's going to cost some of your money. It's going to cost you being willing to submit your life to following Christ. We sing that song, I have decided. You can't decide for me and I can't decide for you. But we all need to make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And I've always loved that verse, the cross before me and the world behind me. Some people possibly today, you struggle because you know the cross should be in front, but there is an allure of the world to pull you back. Can I just get real with you? That's the test. It's a struggle. But there's nothing back there that's worth going back for. Oh, I can't get any help this morning. I've got to bring my own amens. There's nothing back there. That's why you were never satisfied when you were back there. Because there was a part of you that knew that God had something more. He had something better. You knew that there was a higher calling in Christ Jesus. You knew that there was a plan and a purpose for your life. And you had what I like to call a holy unrest. What do I mean by holy unrest? Have you ever just been somewhere and been miserable? Now, by the world standards, you should have been happy. I remember when I was living in Paris. Man, I thought I should have been on top of the world. Man, I'm living in Paris, France. One of the most beautiful cities in the world. I could go anywhere. I could do anything. But when the music stopped, when no one was around me, there was this knowing, this longing, and I knew that there was something more. The Bible says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what does a man give in exchange for his soul? See, you can fool some folk. But in the words of perhaps, maybe he was a prophet, Michael Jackson, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. When you can't fool anybody else and you're looking in the mirror and you know that you aren't comfortable where you are, you can't stay there because you know God is calling you. And how many of you know that sometimes he has to call and we have problems hearing? Have you ever told your child to do something and they didn't do it? That's what I call selective listening. And it's not just in children, it's in adults. God calls you and you have problems responding. Why? Because we think many times that we know what's best. But these wise men were determined that they were going to follow not just the star, but they eventually were going to follow Jesus. So that was the wonder. that a star could shine so bright that it could provide direction for these men to follow for over 2,000 years. For two years. And then there was the fact that God still does amazing things with plain or ordinary people. Jesus had already been born, and these men were determined to follow him. Through the scriptures, we see ordinary people doing unimaginable things. We see a woman who, for 12 years, had wasted all of her money on doctors, yet not getting any better. But one day she hears that Jesus is coming, and she decides that I'm going to go to where he is. And you know the story. In the midst of all of the crowd, in the midst of people pushing her and shoving her, she touches the hem of his garment, and she's made well. See, can I tell you something? If you seek him, he can make you well. If you're pursuing, he can fix it. How can we forget a little boy who goes to the crusade because he hears Jesus is going to be there? His mother, being wise, sends his lunch. The little boy says, I've got to see Jesus. But in the midst of all of those people, over 5,000 people, Jay, nobody else had the foresight to bring a lunch. And we see one of the greatest examples of sharing, because the little boy shares his lunch and over 5,000 people eat. What lengths are you willing to go to follow Jesus? The Magi had a public meeting with King Herod. And then he realizes that, there's a new sheriff in town. And he says, when you find him, come back and tell me. Herod demands that the priests tell him where the Messiah will be born. But his people didn't know. Only these wise men knew. Then Herod has a private meeting with the wise men. And he asked them that when did they first see the star? The scriptures teach us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask God for it, because he gives it up with liberality. Herod's deception in verse 8, he says, when you find a child, tell me that I can worship him too. And how many of you know that as we move into this new year, that you and I cannot be ignorant to Satan's schemes and devices? What's the old saying? If you get me once, get me twice, shame on me. And these men realized that Herod didn't have the Christ child's best interest at heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, we are not ignorant to Satan's devices. And just like sports teams watch film so that they know what their opponent is going to do, can I tell you, you better know what the enemy is trying to do in your life. Do you think he's going to take a vacation while you do something great for God? Some of you are like, wait a minute, man, I have never been up against this much opposition in my life. Why? Because he's trying to get you sidetracked. He's trying to take you on a detour. How many of you use GPS? How many know they aren't always right? We were in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago, and you don't want to be lost in Pittsburgh. And it had us going down a one-way street. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Here's my admonition to you today. Train your heart and your mind and your spirit to hear God's voice. And when you hear it, follow it. The wise men in verse 9 have joy. And how do you know that we still need joy? Sometimes I look at church folk and they're the most miserable people. I'm serious now. Don't get upset with me, but they are. They look sad. They walk sad. I'm just barely making it. Why are you just barely making it? Listen, how you start your day determines your day. If you got up this morning, that was a good thing. Nobody had to call the funeral director. Come on. So it's too cold. And I don't want to get out of bed. Get your hips up out of the bed. Put some clapping in your hand. I woke up this morning singing. And I didn't even need an alarm clock. I got up at 5 this morning. I don't know why I get up so early. But you know what I determined? If I get up that early, God must want me to do something. So you know what I do? I pray. And I worship. She was asleep. She is my wife. But I was singing. I was making a joyful noise. How many of you have ever had your baby get the schedule crossed? You know, they want to sleep during the day and stay up all night. Y'all ever? Y'all? She would come like that. No. She stay up late. I'm going to get in trouble when I get home. I may have to stay with the Pedudos tonight. That's okay. All right. But she stay up late. I get up early. Strangers in the night. Da, 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 da. Use your time. If you're a night owl, give God some of that time. If you're an early riser, give him some of that time. See, wise men do seek him. They seek his guidance. They seek his direction. They seek his help. But the Bible says that they were filled with joy when they got there. And after 2 years, I'd have been filled with joy too. I'd have been happy. Man, finally, we get to see him. And then they did what we ought to all do. How many of you have ever gone to a party and not taken a gift? Don't put your hand up, just wink. And on Christmas, everybody gets a present but Jesus. Did y'all get Jesus anything this Christmas? See? Sweet little baby boy, you didn't get anything for Christmas. Nobody gave you gold, frankincense, or not even myrrh. You came for all of us, but we didn't always understand. Sweet little baby boy, I'm glad you didn't get mad with us. We don't. So, why do I say that? Because you ought to give him something. Well, what do you give somebody who has everything? How many of y'all have somebody in your life that's like that? They got everything. Y'all know somebody like that? I don't have everything. Oh, well, okay. I have a lot of things. And I'm particular. And over the years, my family's gotten wise. They don't try to get me something. they let me get what I like. I'm cool with that. Because there's nothing worse than buying something somebody something that they don't like. Have you seen those commercials? Well, I got you the same thing I got you last year, then. Just wrapped it in a different box. And God help the folk that re-gift. Because you can't remember who you gave. Please don't put your hand up. But you ought to give him something. In Psalms it says, what shall I bring unto the Lord? What should I give him for all of his benefits towards me? I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon his name. I'm going to give him something. And you know what? It's not going to just be on Christmas Day. I'm going to give him something 365 days of the year. What are you going to give him? What do you give the man that has everything? I give him me. I give him my heart. I give him my dreams. I give him my passion. I give him everything that I like. And I lay it at his feet. Some people have a problem with submission to God. Any of y'all have a problem with submission to God? You scared to put your hand up now. But this, I mean, we do. Because we think that if we submit to God, he's going to make us do something we don't want to do. I heard a guy one time say he was so afraid to submit to God because he just knew that God was going to send him to Africa and make him marry one of those women with them big spoons in their lips. I said, man, that's cold. But God still gives people the desires of their heart. How many of you have ever gotten the desire of your heart? And I can bet you it didn't just happen because you wanted it to happen. God gives you and I the desires of our heart when our heart lines up with his word. And that's when things really get good. Because then blessings overtake you. Luke 6:38, giving it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He'll cause men to give unto your bosom. Be a giver. Give God not just some of you. Give God all of you. Let that simmer a little bit. And tomorrow morning when you get up, make this declaration. It's a good day. I don't care if there's 20 inches of snow out there. It's a good day. Man, that's strange. It is a good day. Because if it's 20 inches of snow, thankfully you don't have to go out in it. Years ago, I found myself with my teammates in South Bend, Indiana. There was snow drifts 15 feet high. There was nothing that moved in South Bend, Indiana except for snowmobiles. We were stuck there for 8 days. I had prime rib for breakfast, prime rib for lunch, prime rib for dinner. I didn't eat prime rib for a year. You go to the restaurant and they say, sir, we've got prime rib on our special. Almost like, no! Look for the good in everything. Because things are never as bad as you think they are. And if you think things are bad in your house, just look over in somebody else's house. I was in the hospital last week visiting somebody, 90-year-old lady, trying to take care of her sons. I said, girlfriend, no, I didn't call her girlfriend. I call her Mother Smith. I respect her. I said, you can't take care of everybody because who's going to take care of you? And finally, she looked at me and she said, you're right, Pastor. And some of y'all need to learn that lesson this year in 2018. You cannot take care of everybody Can I talk to some of you mamas? You can't take care of everybody. I know you're a mama bear, but guess what? You're going to drive yourself crazy. You are. Because you worry about everything. Stop worrying and start praying. Stop worrying and start praying. I know there's some mamas over here. Because you will worry and not add anything to your life, but you will take some things from it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. Now, I've often said this. I love my children. I do. I don't always like them, but I love them all of the time. I hung out with my sons last night. You know that when your sons get up in their 20s and 30s, they don't usually like to hang out with their dad. When was the last time your sons hung out with you? They hung out with dad, but I'm a cool dad. I am. I even got a little swagger. Why y'all laughing? I do. I saw Michael at the game. He was hanging out with all his friends. He even took the time to come over and give his pastor a hug. I'm like, see? I go to the Coliseum, and it's like the Baptist church going to big meeting on Big Sunday. I see everybody. Hey, how you doing? Hey! Somebody said, you running for public office? No, I'm just seeing my friends. Be happy. Be joyful. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in this new year, let his joy be your strength. Can I tell you, because you won't have enough in your own, but he'll give you the strength. And when things happen that you can't control, you can still have an attitude of joy. Amen? All right. Luke 9:23 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. How many of you are willing to do that this year? So you're willing to deny yourself, and you're willing to take up your cross daily, and you're willing to follow him. What if you don't know where you're going? You will still follow him? Because that's going to be a true determination as to whether or not you got faith. When you don't know where you're going, but yet you say, wherever he leads, I'll go. When you don't know what next week holds, let alone next month, but there is this feeling inside, I'm still going to follow him. Things could be funny. Money could be funny. Your honey could be funny. But you still going to follow him. Take up your cross. Do it daily. And good things will happen. I want to bring this to a close. The wise men not only were filled with joy, but they worshiped. John 4:23 says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God doesn't just want worship on Sunday, y'all. He wants it every day of our lives. Then something interesting happened for the wise men. Herod tells them to come back to him. But they were wiser. And they were instructed to go back another way. And I think one of the reasons the Holy Spirit got me up at 5 this morning, because he wanted me to tell somebody this. Yes, you need to have joy. Yes, you need to have peace. But what you really need is that once you have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, you ought not go back the same way. Once you come to that place where you know that he's calling you to something better, don't you go back. Open your arms, open your heart, and say, whatever you got for me, I want it. Because some people missed our blessing because they didn't expect it to come the way it did. They went back another way. And for Joseph and for Mary, Joseph had at least 3 dreams. And the last one told him, I want you to go away from where Herod is, because he seeks to kill your son. Don't hang around insecure people, because insecure people try to kill you. If you read Herod's history, anybody that he didn't like, he killed them. And I'm not saying that always in a physical sense. Some of you people have tried to kill your dreams. They tried to kill your passion. They tried to take away the things that you're really good at. And you struggled because, well, maybe God don't want me to have it. Yes, he does, or he wouldn't have put it in you. Here's my point. Don't let anybody kill your dreams. My mother used to say, if somebody digs one ditch, they better dig 2. Because the one that they was going to throw you in, guess what? They're going to wind up going in 1 too. Jesus made a way of escape for Joseph, Mary, and the Christ child. And this morning, he'll make a way of escape for you. He has your future in his hand, and he knows what's best for you. He knows when to bring it. He knows when to open the door, and he knows when to bring it all to pass. Herod died a horrible death. You can't touch God's people. Amen. In Acts 26, Paul is standing before King Agrippa. And he's being persecuted. He's been in prison. But he looks at King Agrippa and he says, man, I think myself happy. And in this new year, I want you to think yourself happy. Think yourself happy. See yourself happy. Every morning, give God praise. Let him know you appreciate the day he's given you. Read through the Psalms. When it says, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Can I tell you something? Dead people can't praise God. So y'all look good. Keep your praise. Get your praise on. I hope this year will be a year where we start praising God more than we did last year. And if you come to church and somebody just, oh, glory, don't look at them like they're crazy. Because you know what I've come to realize? You don't know what that person's been through. And I'm asking God to give me some folk that are desperate. Be a praiser. Be a worshiper. Because the more you praise God, the more you worship God, the more joy and peace you're going to have. I saw folk last night with no shirts on. I saw them painted gold and blue. I saw them scream until they didn't have a voice. There was a man sitting two rows in front of me. I thought I was going to have to call EMS. He turned beet red. Blood vessels were popping up in his neck. I thought I was going to have to go and lay hands on him in Jesus' name and bring him back. Don't let anybody shame you of your faith, amen? Be grateful for who God is and be grateful for what he does in your life. You know, this is Communion Sunday, and it's a special time in any church. But when you come today, I want you to examine yourself. Examine your heart. Don't take old baggage into a new year. If you had issues, give God your issues today. Corinthians says that we ought to examine ourselves so that we don't take, amen, the Lord's Supper irreverently.